Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
We also have Pastor Travis and his wife, Tish, who are from Roatan, Honduras. Roatan is an island, and I had to ask. It's about 35 miles off the coast. It's an island off the coast of Honduras. And Pastor Travis, he and his wife head up a mission that we've been involved in for 7 years. And you're going to be blessed by the message today. You're going to be blessed. Just believe it up front. And it's just a privilege to have them here. It's the first time we've had you. Can't believe it's the first time. Won't be the last, but it is the first. So let's give Pastor Travis a real hand today.
Well, it is a joy to be with you this morning. We've been serving in Roatan, Honduras for the last 13 years, and it's our first time up in Washington State. So we're excited about that. But we're going to look at God's heart for missions this morning. And so let's pray as we begin. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to sing your praises, for you alone are worthy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We know that all men are like grass and their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Lord, we pray you would give us insight into that word this morning. Lord, as we look at your call for us to be mission-focused, to be on mission, Lord, may you speak to each heart. Lord, you know our struggles, you know our trials, you know what we're going through. Lord, we pray you would just draw us close to you and do a mighty work in and through your people this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we came in Wednesday night, and we were able to stay in Seattle for a couple nights. The unfortunate thing is my wife took me up into this tower that has like a UFO on the top of it. It's called Tower of Terror. That's exactly what it's called, because I don't like heights, right? I don't care for heights. And they did a renovation just a few months ago in May, I hear, and put in glass floors. Who does that? It was terrifying. So I'm not a fan of heights, but my wife enjoyed it. She loved it. And we've enjoyed being in the area and seeing some of the sights. But we are very thankful to be here. Most of all, we're thankful because this church has supported the missions in Honduras, been coming for the last 7 years, and it's my opportunity to represent the ministries and just say thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing to help those ministries, to help the families, to help those that are there, and you're doing a wonderful work. I can't go to any of the ministries without seeing something that your team has built, or that a life was changed, a person was mentored, a group of kids was encouraged from your church. So it's a pleasure to be here and to say thank you to Pastor Ray, to the leadership of the church, and to those that have come and served. So it is a joy. But this morning we want to look at God's call for us to be mission-focused. So there's two things that we can be in this world. We can be mission-focused, or we can be self-focused. And God has a heart for missions. Our God is a missionary God. Jesus came on a mission to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in our place for our sins. That's a rescue mission to purchase a people back unto himself, right? So God, our God is a mission God. So there are over 87 verses in the Bible that talk about God's heart for the nations, God's heart for missions. 87. So if God says something one time, you pay attention to it. If he says it twice, underline it. If he says it 87 times, we need to understand it, because it's a major theme, right? So we're going to look at God's heart for mission and our call to be mission-focused. There's the mission, there's the gospel, there's the work, and then there's the result. So there's the mission, the gospel, the work and the result. And so we're going to look at this morning. Honduras is the second poorest country in the Americas. San Pedro Sula had the second highest murder rate in the world when we moved there. It's now number 14. So, you know, they've gotten a little safer. But the islands are very safe. Roatan is the safest Caribbean port, newly rated, and the third safest port in the world. So if you guys come, it's a safe place to be. But we've been serving there since 2012. And God is doing an amazing work over there. A lot of people come migrate from the mainland, where they might make $5 a day, and they're coming over to the island to try to provide for their family. We work a lot with the community that works at the dump. So if you can't find another job, you end up picking through garbage to find anything you can recycle or sell to buy some food for your family. And so we've been serving in those communities. There's four church plants that we've been blessed to be a part of. And we started an alcohol and drug rehab that now has over 180 graduates. And there's two children's ministries, one that serves the community around the dump, with Crystal and Kids Cupboard, and then there's another one that's inner city with 135 kids that very desperate, very needy situations. Great poverty there. Unemployment rate's about 56%. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. Out of those 87 verses, every one of the Gospels mention our call to be on mission, the Great Commission. And we're going to look at Luke 24, we're going to look at Matthew 28, and then finally look at Acts 1:8. But in Luke 24, verses 46 through 48, Jesus says, then it said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so he says, it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And if we're going to be on mission, that's what God has called us to be mission-focused. There's going to be a path to that, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Now, all of us, our default mode is self-focused. My life was very self-focused. I didn't grow up in the church. I started drinking in middle school. I started doing drugs in high school. I started selling drugs in college. And then God saved me out of that, rescued me from that, and set me on a new path. But when we go on mission, the path always involves suffering, uncomfortableness at the very least. So if we're going to serve on mission in this life, that's going to be the most joyful place to be. It'll also be uncomfortable, especially starting out, and there will be suffering if you go and serve God and you go reach others with the good news of the gospel. There's going to be a suffering. There's going to be a death to the old life, a death to the old way, dying to my own wants and needs and desires. There's a missionary, he was going to these islands, I think it was Fiji Islands, and as he was on the way, the captain says, "You shouldn't go here. Look, they're cannibals on this island. They're gonna kill you and eat you. You're gonna die." And the missionary looked at him with his wife, and they said, "We died before we came. We died before we came. We died to our old life." And God showed up, and he moved in a mighty way and saved many of those people and saved the tribe leader and all those things and did a mighty work in those islands. But there's a suffering and an uncomfortableness that comes with being mission-focused. So you need to understand that. But there's also a new life, that God gives us life, and we see it more fully when we see when we're reaching out for the Lord and he shows up and he provides those miracles that only God can do. And you get to see him bless others and transform lives, and that's amazing to see. So there's that path, that suffering, that death, that new life. And then he says that preaching repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance is turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, right? It's not turning away from our sin and turning to something else. because that's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The boat is still going down, right? So, but it's turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus. That's true repentance. And then he says it's forgiveness. So transformation happens when somebody surrenders their life 100% and then their life is transformed, made new, a new creation through that repentance and that forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins past and present and future, right? We see that transformation, and we've seen it especially in the rehab. And they'll pull up a picture of the rehab, and this picture is actually from the first mission team that Todd here led. And they built the first structure over at the rehab, and then were encouraging and mentoring and sharing testimonies with the guys in the rehab. And that's some of the graduates from that the rehab. And so it's a 7-month inpatient program. Their maximum is 20 guys. But Dylon Price is the director, and he was on crack cocaine since the age of 17 till in his early 40s. For over 25 years, he was on the street, on drugs, and then God saved him out of that through the Teen Challenge program. He came to Christ, he comes into church, and he says, God's calling me to start a rehab. I was like, what do you need? He's like, 20 chairs. I was like, sure, we'll give you 20 chairs, right? And then, so they set up, and they had their first event, and 100 people showed up. We're like, we're gonna need more chairs. All right, so. But God shows up, and then from there, it launched into him working with guys on an outpatient basis to be in an inpatient program, and now there's people going through all the time and people graduating all the time. People that have been set free from drugs and alcohol that have been on the street for 10 years, for 20 years, one guy, 34 years on the street, lost all his family. One guy was on the street for 50 years. 50 years. Family had left him long ago. He came to Christ in the rehab, and he's actually a really good singer. He's an amazing singer. They thought he was gonna die when he detoxed. It was that bad. Now he's working as a chef in one of the resorts. He bakes a wonderful bread, right? So, but God saved him. He transformed their life. The other guy, Barney, he was 34 years on crack, and he went through the rehab, he gave up the crack, but he didn't give up the drinking, and the alcohol was killing him. We found him in the hospital, he had an esophageal varice, he was bleeding internally. You don't usually survive that. And this was his second one. And we prayed over him and talked to him about how you need to give 100% to the Lord. You can't give 50% or 90% or 99.9%. You have to give 100% to the Lord. And he did that day. And we're like, I don't know if you have minutes. I don't know if you have hours. I don't know if you have months. We don't know, but start there, right? And he gave his life to Jesus, and God raised him up off that bed, took away his pain, stopped the bleeding, and he's been working the last 3 years in a resort as a security guard. And he's clean and sober and doing amazing. So God does that work. And then Crystal, she's the first female graduate of the rehab. She was on the street since she was 13 years old, kicked out of her house. On crack, she used to take the antennas, break them off the cars, and use that to smoke crack. And her daughter dragged her into the rehab. She went through the program, came to Christ, got baptized, and then she brought her boyfriend in. He went through, he came to Christ, he got baptized. The day he graduated, we did their wedding, and they started this new life together, and then they go back into the community, and she starts cooking food, and these hungry kids start coming over because they smelled the food. And they hadn't eaten. And so a couple kids, she was like, okay, we're gonna feed you, but we're gonna do the Bible study. We're gonna sing some Bible songs. We're gonna do Bible memorization. And so a couple kids turned into 15 kids, turned into 25 kids. And now 3 days a week, she has 70 kids coming for a meal and to hear the Bible and to memorize the Bible. And some of them have memorized whole chapters of the Bible, working on memorizing a whole book of the Bible, right? So God is doing amazing work. He brings transformation. He's the only one that brings that transformation. That's some of the kids in her ministry. And most of their families work at the dump, gathering garbage to be able to provide for their families. A family might make $35 for a whole week, working every day at the dump. So there's the path, the proposition, and then the perspective. the weird thing is that God wants to use you to bring the gospel, to bring transformation into other people's lives, right? I don't know why, but he chooses to use us to bring that change, to bring that transformation. And he's gonna use your unique experience and your talents and your resources and all those things. Somebody, a pastor back in our hometown, he said, you know, really you need to tithe 10%, right? And then, well, take 10% of your time and 10% of your resources and give that way to God. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's not true. That's not accurate. Everything is God's. 100% is God's. And there's so many parables that Jesus says about how we're to be a good manager, a good steward with all that God has given us. So how can I manage my resources, all my resources for God? How can I manage my time? How can I manage my talent? And how can, if I give God that, then see what he can do with taking the little that I have, right? Jesus took a Lunchable and he fed 5,000, right? What can he do with your stuff that you have, right? God took my sin, my mess ups, my stuff. He took 12 years of prison ministry in Tennessee and he enabled me to be able to work with people that are coming off the streets. And God prepared me the whole time. He was preparing me for what I'd be doing now, but I didn't see it because you can only see it in the rearview mirror, right? So God wants to use your unique perspective to be on mission where you are, locally, regionally, globally. In Matthew 28, you know, the Great Commission, right? It's not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. It's a command, right? It's a command. Jesus says, he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's a command. We have a son, he's in the Navy, Navy Special Forces. He's explosives ordnance. He's in bomb school because he likes his parents praying for him. But he's in bomb school. He's finishing up. He's in an underwater demolition right now. But when he gets an order, doesn't matter what the order is. It could be run 6 miles with 80-pound packs. You got to do it. You don't have a choice. It's a command, right? And Jesus says, he says, all authority in heaven. Jesus has all authority. There was a farmer back in Tennessee, and we're from Tennessee, right? Our pronouns are he and haw, okay? So if you got that reference, then you may need to schedule your heart stress test. But there's a farmer back in Tennessee, and he had a bunch of fields and stuff, and a DEA agent came over to his fields. And the DEA agent says, I need to inspect all your fields over here to see that there is nothing illegal over here. And the farmer says, well, you can go in all these fields over here, but don't go in that field right over there. And the DEA agent pulled out his badge and he says, look, you see this badge? That means I can go whenever and wherever I say in any of the fields. The farmer just looked at him and said, all right then. And went back to doing his chores. About 20 minutes later, he heard a blood-curdling scream coming from that field. And that DEA agent was running for his life from the farmer's prize-winning bull. And he was losing ground. And the farmer got up on the fence post. He said, hey, mister, show him your badge. He had all authority, but he didn't have the power, right? But Jesus has all authority, and he has all power. All authority and all power. So when he calls us to go on mission, he says, I'm gonna be with you always. I'm gonna show up. It's all of your days is kind of how that says. And you see all the alls in that. All authority, right? All the nations, all the teaching, all the commands, all the days. All. He has all authority, all power. And when we go on mission, God is gonna show up. We're called to serve. We're called to do that, right? So we need to go forth. The question is, which gospel do we preach? Are we bringing the gospel as we are going? And that literally in the Greek, as you are going. Which gospel are we preaching? I worked in the advertising, and the goal of every commercial, the goal of every company out there is literally to get you to be a brand ambassador for them, to be an advocate for them. So how many iPhone people do we have, right? None? All right. And then Android, right? Okay, all right. So, but we're an advocate for a lot of our brands or things like that, or restaurants or companies or things, and we can, a lot of times, we spend a lot of our time advocating for the things that really don't matter in life. But God calls us to be an advocate. God calls us to bring the gospel from where we are outward, right? To not look down or in, that's self-focused, but to look up to the Lord and then to look out. And if we look up to the Lord, we're gonna look out. So we're gonna love God and then love others. We can't help but love others if we're loving God. And so that's what God calls us to do. We bring that gospel out. And the gospel is what? This is the gospel. Through Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, all can receive abundant, the best life, right? And eternal life through repentance and trusting in him alone as Savior and Lord. Through Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, all can receive abundant and eternal life through repentance and trusting in him alone as Savior and Lord. So he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, and that's that kind of overarching, we're making disciples, and then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So discipleship, we're called to make disciples, not just converts, we make disciples. So it's conversion, it's baptism, it's instruction, right? We're sharing how they can grow in their faith. And it's teaching. Part of the teaching is training and serving. If we're gonna be on mission, you need to be serving. If you're gonna grow spiritually, I'm telling you, you have to serve. Matthew 5-7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus sums it up, and he says, if he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like he who built his house on the rock, right? He heard the words and he put them into practice. He served, she served. But he who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like building your house on sand. The winds came, the storms came, and it fell. Because they weren't spiritually mature. They hadn't put into practice what they had heard. All of them went to church. All of them heard the gospel. All of them heard the Bible, but they didn't serve. And when we serve, we're building our life, we're building our foundation on the solid rock, right? So we need to be serving. Over 20 different ministries that are here you can be serving in. Serve. God wants you to serve locally. He wants you to serve regionally. He wants you to be a part of serving globally, right? There's goers and there's senders and there's disobedient. There's goers, there's senders, there's disobedient. The only question is, what are we going to be? What are we going to be? When we get up out of this chair and we walk out into that world, what are we going to be? Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Right? We're called to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. You know, 40% of the world doesn't have access to the gospel. 40%. There are over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world. Over 7,000. There's over 7,000 languages spoken in the world. You know how many have been translated into the Bible? They just reached one of the numbers. 1,000. 1,000. One of those last languages was the Miskito language in Honduras. We have a large tribe, a lot of population of Miskito Indians. And they speak a language that's like Hawaiian. It sounds more Hawaiian. It doesn't sound Spanish at all or Mayan at all. It sounds Hawaiian. But they just got their first shipment of 1,000 Bibles last year. Last year. We're just, yeah, praise God, right? And we had, the Miskito Church was the first church on Roatan to meet, met at the location of the rehab. And then they grew so large, they had to move out from there. But we've got a Mosquito Christian Church meeting on Roatan. And it was started and it was enabled by your church going there and building the first structure that was there. So God is using you to reach all tribes and peoples and nations, right? So praise God for that. But there's 6,000 more, right? There's 7,000 unreached people groups. There's a lot of work for us to do. But he says we need to go in the Holy Spirit. We'll receive power. We're going to be empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit as we go on mission. Don't just go on mission and ask God to bless your plan. I've done it. I've asked God to bless my plan. We thought with the dump ministry, what we need to do is we need to buy some land and build some houses there, and that'll fix everything. And that would give them a place to stay that would be safe and secure and all those things. And we ran into somebody that did the same thing in Guatemala, and they said, don't do it. We did it in Guatemala at a dump, and it was a disaster. It was a disaster. And so, we tried to raise funds for it for years, and we couldn't raise a dime for it. And because it wasn't God's plan, it was our plan. But then somebody came and said, we want to give money for education. We want a learning center built on the island. We've been supporting the dump ministry. And so they gave money. And then as soon as that started, it was like, open the floodgates, because here's all this stuff. We thought we'd get the land and then we'd wait a few years and maybe build something later. As soon as we got the land, we took a couple on the tour, showed them what it was. And they were like, we want to pay for the building. Like, what? And God opened this learning center, and we've got people teaching welding and sewing for the ladies at the dump and English classes and all these things, and God is moving in a mighty way there. So we need to be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wait for his plan. And then the location, here, near and far, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So geography doesn't matter to God. God wants you to serve where you are, and then if God gives you the opportunity to go regionally or to go globally, take it. But we need to be serving where we are, and that's where we need to start out. So God is calling us to be in that work. The cool thing about the Bible is he gives us the end of the story. In Revelation chapter 5, he shows us the end of it, of when all the nations and the tribes and the peoples have been shared with and come to Christ. We get this picture of heaven in Revelation 5, and it says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. They're seeing Jesus. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And he says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We see this picture of heaven. You know, we read the end of the book, God wins, right? And so you get this transformation that happens in people's lives, a new heart and a new direction. Not perfection, but a new direction. And we get glory to the Lord, glory to God for what he's done. I'll close with this. There was a family that worked at the dump, mom and dad, and she was walking into the dump one day. Her son had spina bifida. He was paralyzed, couldn't walk. And she was walking into the dump one day. A truck came in really fast and ran over her and killed her. And the husband went into a deep depression, started drinking heavily, stopped taking care of Elkin. He was 12 years old. And he got bed sores, infected, went into sepsis, and almost died. They brought him into the hospital. They called us, and they said, hey, is there anybody that could take this 12-year-old kid that's paralyzed? And we're like, well, we called one of the mission hospitals called Loma de Luz, and we said, hey, can you possibly take him? And they said, we're not set up for a paralyzed kid. We don't have the ability to handle him, and we're full. We don't have the resources for that, to handle somebody that's paralyzed. And so they said no, and said, okay, we said, okay, we'll keep on looking. They called me the next morning. They were already on their way. They said, we prayed about it, and we're coming. So they came over. They evaluated him, talked with the dad. He agreed to send Elkin over. They took them over there with no resources, and they'd been waiting on a container ship for about 8 months. It was shipped a year before. They'd waited on this container ship. A lot of times the government will hold it up. They're trying to get something out of it or take a bribe or something. And they finally released it 2 weeks after Elkin arrived. Inside was a pair of braces exactly his size and a set of parallel bars to where they could teach him how to walk. Two items that had never been sent in 20 years of ministry at that hospital, they'd never received anything like that before. And God sent it a year before, it waited in port for 8 months, and then it gets released right as it had a need. That's how God works, that's how God shows up. And I tell you, God does those miracles all the time, but in the States, there's 100 ways God could provide, and we write it off. And I did too. But when you're on an island or you're in a third world country and God provides, you can't explain it away. God wants to do a mighty work in and through you. He wants you to be on mission. The only question is, how will we respond? Are we gonna be self-focused or are we gonna be mission-focused? So we're gonna stand and sing, we're gonna respond and worship, right? And when you walk out that door, go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. We're gonna pray. I'm gonna pray over you, and then we're gonna sing and we're gonna worship our Lord and Savior. And then when we walk out those doors, the question is: are you gonna walk out self-focused, or are you gonna say, God, I'm gonna walk out on mission for you, and see what God does in and through this church to change a lost and dying world? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people here. We thank you for their heart for you. We thank you for their heart for missions. Lord, we just pray you would speak to them, Lord, that you would help them to be on mission for you, to be on fire for you. Lord, we just ask that you would do a mighty work in and through your people and start today. And it's in Jesus' name we'll give you all the glory and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.